Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the latest smartphone to make waves thanks to its camera, that is the Huawei P20 Pro. And to do that, we have our games editor, Rishi Alwani.
Good morning, night, evening, whenever you're watching it. Hopefully you're not, listening to this, perhaps on a device without a notch.
Mm-hmm. And the person who's reviewing the P20 Pro, that's Aditya Shenoy.
Hello. Yeah, this phone has a notch.
Yeah. And I'm your host, Pranay Parab. So tell me, can you not hide the notch on this phone?
No, like, you can actually.
Yeah, there is a notch hiding mode, right? So yes. There you go, all your problems solved.
Yeah, but to dial back a bit, the P20 Pro is Huawei's current flagship, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But it's, what do we have in terms of specs, Aditya?
But it looks like Huawei's flagship, because in India, it's the flagship, but I think internationally, the Mate 10 is in the same position as the P20 Pro. But specification-wise, this has Huawei's own processor. So you have the Kirin 970, 6 gigs of RAM, 128 GB of internal storage, storage non-expandable, and dual SIM device. So it's pretty much got everything that most other flagships have when it comes to specs.
But it also has 3 cameras, right?
Yeah, so that is the highlight of this phone. 3 cameras at the back, each have a different function. So you have an 8 megapixel with a telephoto lens, 40 megapixel RGB sensor.
And, like 4-0?
Yeah, 4-0, not 1-4. Wow. So yeah, a 40 megapixel RGB sensor and a 20 megapixel monochrome sensor. So
nice. Yeah, so the megapixel count right. Obviously does not matter as much. What really matters is the quality of the sensor and how good of a picture taker or a video taker it is. Yeah. So let's just like dive right in and have Aditya explain what's so good about this camera. Why is it being hyped so much? Is there more to it than just Huawei's marketing?
Yeah, so what Huawei has done is, see, honestly, to get a good camera, you need hardware and software. So the hardware bit is present. Like what we've seen in most dual camera setups is that the secondary camera has a function. So it's either there to gauge depth or, you know, add an additional option to click objects at a distance using the telephoto. Or what Huawei has been doing, like for Honor phones earlier, was using a monochrome sensor. So a monochrome sensor clicks photos in black and white, which helps capture a lot of detail. Like it can capture light better, and it uses that details to, you know, make the image look better. And on this thing, you have the triple camera setup. So when you're normally clicking it, it uses the 40 and the 20 megapixel sensors to kind of get the most amount of detail. And if you're clicking something that is far away, then that's when it'll use the 8 megapixel one with the telephoto lens. And that way, software front, they've got... So Huawei has been going very heavy when it comes to AI, artificial intelligence for the whole thing. So what I found interesting is that when you're shooting with the phone, you point it towards a person and it automatically switches to portrait mode. The moment it detects flowers or greenery, it automatically sets the scene up accordingly so that it can get the colors well. So when you're shooting the sky or you're shooting cats and dogs, it changes the scene automatically. So it's not the same kind of settings that it applies for every photo. So it tweaks it a little, which gives it that little extra edge. That's it.
Okay, so what I really wanted to know was whether this phone is, you know, I mean, putting those 3 cameras to good use or not. Because, you know, like, there is no end to this, right? Like, it started with a single camera, then there's a dual camera, and now there's a triple camera. Tomorrow, you could put, like, you could plaster the back of the screen with, like, cameras, and, like, would you get a better result?
Well, when it comes to photos, yes, it is good. And especially in low light condition, that is where this is, it has a very, very good output. So what it does is generally when you're clicking it normally, it will sharpen the image so that it looks better. But when you switch it to night mode, it clicks multiple photos at different exposures so that you get good amount of detail and then kind of squishes them together for one output. And the output looks really good. Like I also pitted against the Pixel 2 that I had. And honestly, you need to keep your hands steady because it's clicking multiple photos. And if you manage to do that, the results are really nice.
So it doesn't have the stabilization features that the Pixel 2 has?
It has. So stabilization, it has what Huawei calls it AI stabilization. So it uses the accelerometer and the gyro. And it will get shakes down. But when you're clicking in low light, you already have a very long shutter speed, because of which the shutter is open for a really long time and even minor shakes are visible. Like, you know, when you're clicking a photo, for video, it does have stabilization, but again, it's only for 1080p. The moment you start recording in 4K, you do not have stabilization.
I mean, and the other thing to keep in mind is that while Huawei's implementation of low light photos seems pretty cool, what's also really important to note is the fact that if you have a moving object in the frame, it'll end up looking like a very weird kind of ghosting.
You will have kind of ghosting image. And motion blur.
Yeah, so that's something to keep in mind. So while it does well on the low light side, if there's low light with objects in motion, you may want to reconsider your options while shooting.
Yeah, and that's when you're shooting in night mode. If you're shooting in the normal photo mode, you wouldn't have that issue. But with night mode, wherein you get the best output, Rishi said, you will see ghosting.
So it's like a trade-off between, do you want the best output in details with the chance of, if there's a moving image, ghosting and blurry effects, or do you want everything as it should be but without the cool details you should be getting, which night mode and low light bring?
Yeah, so under normal circumstances, I'd be more willing to forgive these sort of glaring omissions. You can't really have like the stabilization mode disabled in 4K. Like, if you are giving a 4K shooting mode, then you give stabilization with it. Otherwise, what is the point? Like, are you selling a tripod for like to go with it? Are you giving it away for free? No, you're not. Then secondly, what is the price of this phone, Aditya?
Well, it's priced at 64,999 rupees.
Only? Yeah. I mean, there's only one variant?
Yeah, only one variant, 128 GB, and you only get it in the midnight blue color.
Wait, you don't get twilight?
No.
Okay, for those of you who are tuning in, the twilight color of the Huawei P20 Pro is perhaps one of the coolest looking phones on the market right now, because it's got these weird shades of blue and violet that change as...
Like it's a gradient. Yeah, like it's a really gradient cool from metallic midnight gradient. Blue towards purple.
And perhaps violet, it's the best argument against ever using a case, and it's tragic that color option is not available in India.
Okay, so... What I was like driving towards was at 65,000 rupees, you really cannot have this kind of a glaring omission when it comes to the camera, and that too, like when your highlight feature is the camera. While the still photos and a 1080p video recording features may work really well, but if you missed out on that stabilization feature for 4K recording, then yeah, I mean, you really can't charge that kind of a price and expect people to sort of live with it. And also, this phone is competing with the likes of the Google Pixel 2 and the
The Samsung 10. Galaxy S9 and the S9 Plus as well.
Yeah. And here's the other thing to keep in mind. The P20 Pro has been getting a barrage of positive publicity from the international press. And with good reason. Yeah, it's a good phone. I mean, even our review would probably tell you the same. That yes, it's a great phone. But also keep in mind that a lot of them tend to overhype the camera functionality in a way. And a lot of it seems to... And it obviously would seem that way because, I mean, when Huawei decides to blow its budget to get a bunch of international press in Paris to take photos, where even with a $5 disposable Polaroid, you'll end up taking good photos because it's that picturesque a city. It seems to oversell the camera. So that's something you should keep in mind if this phone is on your radar.
Yeah, so basically the point is that don't buy into all the hype around it. Yeah, I mean, just check out the sample photos and see like which is closest to like the photos you're going to be taking. And, you know, you may go to a vacation like to Paris, whatever, once in your lifetime or maybe twice, you know, unless you are from like nearby somewhere here. So like, and for that trip, maybe you can, you know, borrow this phone from someone else. But you need to also see like if its performance otherwise, it satisfies you. Yeah. So just look at the sample photos, see whether like it appeals to you, and don't buy into the hype too much. We're not saying that this is a bad camera. It is certainly a good camera, but then as a whole, like as a package, you may like the photos that the Pixel 2 takes, or you may like the iPhone X's photos or the Galaxy S9's photos. So you need to evaluate all of them. Just don't blindly believe somebody who says that X camera is better or Y camera is the best. It all depends. It's all like very subjective, especially when it comes to like the camera testing that people do.
Yeah, and the other thing to keep in mind is, and this is particularly more with the fact of Android being Android, is that the P20 Pro is running last year's high-end spec. So if you're expecting the very latest and greatest in silicon, that's not going to be in the P20 Pro. If you're expecting them to put their answer to the 845 Snapdragon, that's not the case. Because what Huawei tend to do is they tend to use their own custom silicon on their high-end, on their own devices, and they're using a Kirin 970, which was their high-end chip from last year. And it was unveiled at a glitzy event where they showed off its machine learning and AI capabilities, and that's a part of which helps power the camera.
Okay. So Can you talk more about the software? The Emotion UI, I mean, versus Talk Android is something that a lot of people would want to know.
So when it comes to, so this runs EMUI 8.1 and quite surprisingly, this phone runs on Android Oreo 8.1. So it's quite up to date in that sense. And even the security patch is quite recent. And based on what I've seen on the other Honor phones that I've used over the past year, EMUI, they've kind of toned it down a little and it looks somewhat, it's closer to stock Android than it was before. Like, it does not have a lot of apps, even bloatware, whatever they have installed on the Huawei P20 Pro, well, you can uninstall it and get rid of it. But apart from that, you have your basic Huawei Health and Huawei ID stuff that the company puts in anyway on their phones. So that's like the only little bit of customization that I've seen. Other than that, well, it looks a little different, but functionally, like, everything is still the same. Like, it's still at the same place where you'll find it on most other stock Android phones.
Yeah, so the one problem that I have with this phone, like Emotion UI or not, is that, I mean, look, you have a notch at the top. Okay, it can be disabled, sure. Then why not have like a actual all screen design? Like, there is still a button at the bottom and there is a navigation bar right above it. So effectively about what, like 8 to 10% of screen space is just taken up by these elements. Why can't you make like a phone which is, you know, like the screen is there from the top to the bottom with the navigation buttons right at the end of the screen? I'm really not sure why they have made this design choice.
Well, yeah, a lot of it also has to do with access to these specific OLED panels for this. Because if what Pranay is, because honestly, if you want a full, if you want a bezel-free chin, if you want no hardware buttons at the bottom, that you need special OLED types that Samsung only has and Apple has dibs on, and you need to curve that in a special way so that you don't have the chin below. You know, and that's the problem right now. There are limitations on that front, and I agree because if you think about it, while everyone obsesses over the notch on the iPhone 10, they're also forgetting that it's completely bezel free all around, and because of that, the knockdown effect, and this is perhaps more important than the notch, is the fact that it changes how you interact with the iPhone 10. You have to use gestures, tap, swipe, hold, and it works really well. Once you use it, it works really well. And I kind of agree with Pranay because after using the P20 Pro for a bit, it's like using any regular Android phone. It's like, hey, we just, you know, ripped off the notch because that's the cool thing all the cool kids are using. And that's a little, to me, that just felt a little saddening because you'd think that, fine, the notch is there for a design reason, but it also has, it, at least on the iPhone, it impacts how you use it on day-to-day. It allows for different use cases, but that's not the case here. Yeah. So it's not like you can hold an app and swipe it up to close it and stuff like that. You have to use the standard.
Like, this is what I think is, they couldn't have the fingerprint scanner on the back because it already has like too many cameras at the back, so you cannot put a fingerprint scanner there. In-display fingerprint scanner would probably be more expensive and it's not ready yet.
Yeah.
So that's going to push this device back. So they had to probably settle for a fingerprint scanner on the front, and because there's no other place to put it. And the navigation buttons, well, if you aren't a big fan, you can disable it and you can use the fingerprint scanner, which has gestures. So, you know, a short tap on it for the back, long press to go back to home, or you can swipe it for multitasking. So that is the kind of customization they've done. But that said, I think when we were discussing about the Vivo V9, that has implemented the gestures on it, you know, and that has a fingerprint scanner on the back. On this thing, gesture implementation is a problem because when you're swiping it, like on the V9, you only have the display on the front and you can swipe from the bottom of the display and it will interact. Well, here you have the fingerprint scanner. Mm-hmm. So the moment you try to interact with it, you probably might hit the fingerprint scanner, which will result in some or the other action.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that probably might be a conscious move to not put it in. But if in case you're on Android and you want to use gesture-based navigation, well, it's Android. You can basically customize it to...
So there's an app for that.
Well, there's a couple of apps for that. It's a tedious process, but yeah, you can have... but you can have gestures on any Android phone.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And the other thing to keep in mind is, at least what I found really amusing is that there actually is support for an IR blaster. So you can use it.
So I think that is something that's not found very often on flagship devices. Very, very few. Xiaomi has it on most of their budget lineup. So an IR blaster. Now, if you want to use all your IR-based appliances using a smartphone, then yes, it has an IR blaster and an app which you can configure all the other remotes to.
Yeah, yeah. This is your remote worth 65,000.
But wait,
yeah.
Here's the other thing. There is no 3.5mm headphone jack.
Yeah. I don't think it matters anymore to anyone.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah, but you know, even while it does not have that 3.5mm headphone jack, well, it obviously has a dongle, 3.5mm to like the Type-C to 3.5mm. But they also ship in-ear Type-C headphones in the box.
Oh, nice.
Which is better because Xiaomi, I think, does not do it with the Mi Mix.
Yeah, what about Google? Google doesn't ship headphones with its Pixel phones
but
either.
But you get a dongle.
Yeah, you get a dongle.
So enjoy that.
But the other thing also to keep in mind is while you're paying 65,000 rupees for the phone, what's the support situation like?
Well, honestly, there's no way of gauging it at the moment, like how the support is. But based on what the device is currently shipping it with, it's currently up to date. So I'm hoping, because, you know, like people paying 65,000 rupees would at least want their phone to be supported for a year or two, like, you know, probably 2 years would be the sweet spot. And that is what Google does with the Pixel 2 and the Pixel 2 XL.
Yeah.
At the moment, there's no claims from Huawei that they will be supporting this device for, you know, a set period of time. But, well, it's anybody's guess now.
Yeah, and as far as, like, the whole service network and all is concerned, I believe Huawei has been in India for some time now. So they have their whole budget lineup of Honor phones, and they have some phones selling under the Huawei brand. So, yeah, I suppose their service should be as good or as bad as any other phone manufacturers, but there is no way for us to verify that. In terms of software updates, basically what Aditya said, just wait and watch. As of now, it's up to date.
Yeah.
But with any Android phone, there's no guarantee that you'll get software updates on time.
Unless you have
a
Pixel or an Android one, like a phone from an Android one program, there's absolutely no guarantee. It all depends on the manufacturer when they wish to kind of update it.
It also goes to show that, I mean, we're in a situation where a lot of the big Chinese companies, Huawei, ZTE, Xiaomi, they're looking beyond China. And if you want to play in other markets, you gotta have a feature set and UI and user experience that works, which is why, I mean, while in China the EMUI feature set might work, but for a lot of us it might just seem like bloatware. So it's going to be interesting to see what learning curves they have and how we react to whatever they bring in next, because to me this just seems like a very good way to introduce people to the Huawei brand. And then when people see the price, they'll probably pick up the P20 Lite and stuff.
Yeah, so since you mentioned the Huawei brand, there are 2 points I want to make about this. One is that, look, I mean, we get it. Like, everyone wants to show off their phone as, like, this is, you know, an iPhone, but cheaper and better.
Yeah.
But you got to stop that. Like, you got to develop phones with your own identity if you want to be taken seriously as a, like, a manufacturer with, like, a global ambition. Otherwise, it just does not, like, give out the same sort of a brand image, if I can put it that way. If you can't really be copying Apple's software, you can't really be copying the notch, and then like after that just trying to pass it off as your own innovations or something. And, you know, okay, fine, I can still understand the notch, you know, it's a hardware design choice, but then you should design the phone properly so that, you know, the display is an all-screen design and not have this tiny little bit sort of under the screen. The second thing is that Huawei, I think at least in India, there is a bit of a brand confusion here.
Yes.
Because if you look at it, like their whole budget phone series, it's under the Honor brand.
Yep.
Right? Now, this was supposed to be an online exclusive budget phone brand or something. Yeah. Now, if you look at it, Huawei P20 Pro is the more expensive phone that costs 65,000 rupees. And it's the best phone they have in the market right now. Right? That's Huawei's best phone. It's their flagship. Now, there is another phone called Huawei P20 Lite available at 19,999 rupees. It's much closer to a mid-range Android phone or a budget Android phone than to a flagship. Why would you give it the exact same name? Why would you not put it under the Honor brand? Yeah. This is something that I fail to understand. Why would you confuse people? Now, if I'm, you know, going to the market and I'm trying to, whatever, like I'm showing this phone to people and I'm telling them, okay, this is a really good phone. It has a great camera. It's called a P20 Pro. Who is going to remember that it's the P20 Pro and not the P20 Lite? Like, why would you, like, sort of create this kind of a confusion? I cannot for the life of me understand.
Yeah, and it gets worse because they share the same industrial design.
Yeah.
And, I mean, in terms of spec, the P20 Lite has a 659K RAM, 4 gigs of RAM, and a 3000 mAh battery versus 4000 on the Pro. But then at the end of it, they look the same, right? Yeah. And considering where India's a market where the iPhone 10 is super aspirational, I mean, there's just a good chance people could, you know, pick up any other phone with a notch.
Yeah.
And you have quite a few options, not just Huawei.
Well, there are like a few differences. Well, the P20 Lite only has like two cameras at the back, and the fingerprint scanner is positioned at the back and not the front, but the P20 Pro. But yeah, I think a few people might just mistake it for the P20 Lite or something. Yeah. But that said, yeah, the naming scheme is quite weird because you generally have like for the Galaxy S9 and the S9 Plus, or the iPhone 8 and the iPhone 8 Plus, they are priced in the same range. Like,
Pixel,
you know, you have the Pixel 2 and the Pixel 2 XL.
Yeah.
Whereas you have the Huawei P20 Lite and the Huawei P20 Pro, which, you know, when you hear it for the first time, you'll be like, okay, you probably have a 5,000 or 10,000 rupee difference. And here it's like a 35,000 rupee difference, which is huge.
Yeah. And considering considering Huawei is the premium brand, why would you do that?
Yeah, so, and this is not the only brand that does it. In the previous episode of Orbital, we discussed the Asus naming scheme for a bit. I mean, just look at it. Zenfone 4, Selfie, Zoom, Max. Yeah. There are like thousands of Zenfone 4s out
Asus,
there.
Asus, I think, has got... It needs to get the naming done right, because the new phone is called the Asus Zenfone...
Pro Max. No, Max Pro M1.
It's called the Max Pro M1. And honestly, see, because you generally have... they have the Max series, which is dedicated for like big battery phones. And then the Pro series came for the selfies, where, you know, you had the selfie and then you had the selfie Pro, and now they've just like mixed all the series up, and I don't know what that M1 is for, honestly.
It's okay. 10 years down the line, they'll do a Max Pro M1 HD re-release definitive edition.
Come on, selfie. This is not the world of gaming, man. Anyway, so yeah, getting back to the Huawei P20, this, I think it's a very bad move to have another phone called Huawei P20 at the budget segment end of things. It's just going to cause more confusion in the market. They should have launched it under the Honor brand, maybe, or at least given it a different name. Call it the Huawei G20 or something else.
Yeah.
Any other name could have been better than, you know, giving it the same name as your flagship. But yeah, I suppose that phone is the one that is going to sell more in India, because it is, as we all know, a very price-sensitive market at the flagship end. Beyond iPhone and Samsung, for any other phone to sell a lot, it's going to take some time. We are definitely we've not reached a level where flagship phones are going to be selling in the like multiple millions in India just yet. Maybe China is at that place, US is at that place, but I don't think India.
But
is
I think
there
in
yet.
India, 20,000 to 30,000 rupees is still like the sweet spot. It's not explored. Like, a lot of manufacturers tend to play under 20,000 rupees.
Yeah, so the Nokia 7 Plus is there in that segment. So hopefully the Huawei P20 Lite can give that a lot of competition.
You know,
let's see.
Actually, thinking about it, the P20 Lite is a good competitor to the Vivo V9, which is like a smartphone from Vivo, has the notch and some, you know, similar specs. Same price range. And the other phone that comes to mind is the Oppo F7. Now, so, you know, you look at those price points. If you want a phone with a notch for 20,000 rupees, so you have like three phones right there, and then you can decide.
Yeah. So there's Xiaomi, which also has the Redmi Note 5 Pro, I believe.
Yeah. The Redmi Note 5 Pro is still significantly cheaper. You can get it for, I think, 14,999 with that upgraded like price. They've just recently increased it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think the base variant is going to be priced at 14,999. And but that doesn't have the notch. So it still is that standard 18:9 aspect ratio display.
Yeah, for Xiaomi, the only one like with all screen design is the Mi Mix 2, which I believe has not really done very well.
No, it's still pretty much just there.
Yeah.
Though they had allowed the press to check out the Mi Mix 2S, but again, there are no plans to launch that, at least at the time of recording this podcast. They don't seem to have any plans to launch that.
So that brings me to another question, which is, you know, when companies that have not really traditionally been in the flagship space in India, they come in, like, it takes a bit of time for them to establish themselves. So Huawei, so far the phones they've launched, we've been happy with the budget phones they've launched. This Huawei P20 Pro has also gotten a pretty good review from us.
Yeah.
But, you know, will it really succeed in the market? That remains to be seen. At a price point of 65,000, the Galaxy S9 is cheaper.
Yeah, the Galaxy S9 is cheaper. The Pixel 2 is cheaper than that. You have the Galaxy S9 Plus that's in the same price range.
Hmm.
And I think you can also get the iPhone 8 Plus somewhere around the same price.
Yeah, iPhone 8 Plus is going around 70,000. Okay. Below 70,000, it is hard to find that. So, yeah, iPhone 8 Plus is just 5,000 rupees more than this. But then again, like, if you're in the market for a phone right now in the flagship segment, if you don't go by brand value, perhaps, you know, the P20 Pro like would appeal to you. But at least most people I know who are investing this amount of money, they would go for a brand that they know. And very few people check all reviews and get really excited. Those people would firmly fall in the nerd crowd and like those who are called technology enthusiasts. And, you know, for now, I think Huawei will have to just be happy with, you know, capturing some of that market rather than people who have a lot of money to spend and go buy recognized brands and, you know, pick up stuff in the market. All right. Any closing thoughts on this phone? Aditya, you've reviewed it. So is there anything else that you want to talk about this? I did notice that there's a very nice earpiece right next to the front camera. Tiny little one.
Yeah, so tiny little circular earpiece. Like it kind of reminds of the Nexus 5 and the Nexus 5. Yeah. Sup, Rishi? Other than that, nothing. Like notch, no notch. I think that is a good kind of an approach when you can switch the notch off if you don't like it. Hmm. It still uses it to show the other indicators, but it is in a dark theme, so you won't miss it. But yeah, otherwise, hardware and all is decent, but you have newer phones coming up. So what I would recommend is kind of wait, look at what others are doing. I think the OnePlus 6 is coming up soon. So it might be interesting to see what that has on offer.
Hmm.
I don't know. To me, it just seems that Huawei's P20 Pro could just very well be the very first Android answer to the iPhone 10. And we're probably going to see more along the way, like the OnePlus 6. So, yeah, it's kind of like the sign of things to come this year. So, fun times ahead.
Yeah, let's see how OnePlus 6's launch turns out, which is quite close by. And also, we'll hear more from Google at Google I.O., which is also about a week away right now. We're recording this on May 2nd, 2018. So, Google I.O. is going to happen in a week from now. And we'll see what happens. Android P may bring in more support for the notch, you know.
Gestures, please.
Yeah. And then if the phone, I think we could reach a stage by the end of this year that if a phone doesn't have a notch, then, you know, it's probably not a phone anymore.
That's some next level hipster thinking.
Okay, then. So that's all for this episode of Orbital. And we will see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. And if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, do write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. And you can find our show on iTunes and also on the Google app on your Android phone. Just search for Orbital Podcast Gadgets360 and you can go there and subscribe. And on iTunes also, we are available at Orbital. Thank you so much for listening.